A couple of, just one quick ha'ara before we move on from yesterday's shir. I mentioned yesterday that we were talking a little bit about this idea of meis mitzvah kona makomo, that meis mitzvah is kona, his place, where you find the meis mitzvah, and we were discussing, Sfasemis wasn't sure, what would you say about a meis mitzvah in an ir miklat? Would you say that the meis mitzvah gets to be buried in ir miklat because kona makomo, or do you say that he can't be buried in ir miklat? We discussed whether the meis mitzvah kona makomo beats out Kivrei Avos. Can you move him to Kivrei Avos? Just happens to be, I love when this works out, that today's Daf Yomi, the concept of Meis Mitzvah Kona Makoma came up in the following context. The Gemara says that you're Mevatel Talmud Torah Lo'otzas, that we're Mevatel Talmud Torah Lo'otzas HaMeis, especially if the mace doesn't, specifically if the mace doesn't have kol tzarcho, if the mace doesn't have everything that it needs. Meaning, and the Gemara says, what does a mace need? Well, it needs to be given proper kavod. What's proper kavod? 12,000 people, 6,000 shofros. If it's someone who's kari vitani, someone who's a tamil chacham, so the Gemara says, netilasa kinesinasa, the way the Torah is taken from us, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the tamil chacham from us, it should be the same level of kavod as we gave when the Torah was given to us. So if there are any less than 600,000 people that are going to attend the funeral of the Talmud Chacham, you need to go to give the cover of 600,000 people, and we're even Mevatel Talmud Torah for that. That's what the Rishonim point out. Shulchan Aruch says that, but you're not Mevatel Tinoka Shel Beis Rabin for that. You're Mevatel Talmud Torah, but not Tinoka Shel Beis Rabin. Rav Shechter said that when Rav Salvechik was once saying Shir, there was a Levaya going on for a Rosh Yeshiva at the same time, and he didn't cancel Shir. And he said that we're not mevatel tinoka shel beis rabban. So the boy said, but we're like the smicha shir in YU, like the highest shir, and like is that tinoka shel beis rabban? He said, yeah, you still need a rebbe, you're still tinoka shel beis rabban. That's an interesting take on what's considered tinoka shel beis rabban. I remember when I was learning in Keren Biavne, Rabbi Teitz zichrono levracha passed away. And his Levaya was going to be in Eretz Yisrael in Yerushalayim, and it was going to be right in the middle of second Seder, right in the middle of the afternoon Seder. So I wasn't sure, should I go? My family had a relationship with Rabbi Teitz. He gave my grandmother, Allah Shalom, a job, even though she couldn't speak any English, and she was an almana, and he really, like, we had a lot of akar satovtim. So I wasn't sure, should I go to the Levaya, should I stay and learn second Seder? But I decided, you know what, the schus of the Torah will carry the day, and that will be, you know, whenever you're in doubt, should I learn, should I not learn? Usually my rule is, you know, learn, right? So I sat down to learn. We happened to have been learning Ksubas that year, and in Yeshiva, and we were up to in Bekiyas Ksubas Taf Yud Zayin. So I opened up the Gemara. The first Gemara I saw was for a Talmud Chacham. Unless there are 600,000 people there, then you go there. And if it's someone who taught Torah, no matter how many people, you always got to go in your Mevatel Talmud Torah to go. I don't know if you know about Rabbi Teitz. Rabbi Teitz was the greatest Marbitz Torah in the world in his time, in terms of quantity at least. That's what his son said at the Hesped. He used to give a radio show of Gemara, a radio shir, a Gemara shir on the radio in Yiddish, and like 100,000 people would listen, because even people who like weren't observant but they remember Yiddish from the Alta Haim and they liked to hear, you know, the Yiddish reminder, they would listen to Rabbi Teitz's Gemara shir. It was wild, unbelievable. So I said, after 5 minutes of learning, I closed my Gemara. I said to my Chavrus, I'm sorry. Kodesh Baruch Hu just told me I have to go. So, I ended up going. But on that Gemara, Tosus asks the Kasha. He says that in Maseches Derech Eretz, it tells us that Rabbi Akiva once encountered a mace mitzvah, and he was molicho dalid parsaos. He schlepped the mace mitzvah for parsaos to bring it to Kvura, and then he went back to Yeshiva. And his Rebbeim said to him, "I'll call psio psia. For every step that you took that you weren't learning, you're gonna be Yorish Gehenim or whatever. You're Chayiv Misa for every step. Chayiv Misa was Lashon. You're gonna be Chayiv Misa for every step that you took." Apparently, they faulted him for the Bittul Torah. So that tells us, I don't understand. The Gemara says you're allowed to be Mevatel Talmud Torah for Otzas HaMeis, especially Meis Mitzvah. Doesn't have whatever he needs. That's the definition of Meis Mitzvah. And yet Rabbi Akiva was faulted, and he was being punished. His Rebbeim told him he's going to be punished for that. What's the difference? So says Tosfos in his first answer. Tosfos gives two answers. Second answer is the more famous one, because the second answer Tosfos gives is you're mevatel Talmud Torah for a meis mitzvah, but you're not mevatel shimush talmidei chachamim for a meis mitzvah. And Rabbi Akiva lost out not just on Talmud Torah, but in the opportunity to be meshamish talmidei chachamim. Gadol shimusha yoser milimuda. Shimush Talmud Chacham is greater than Talmud Torah. that you're not mevatel even for a meis mitzvah. So, but the first answer tells us what's nogea to us. First answer tells us over there is, tells us says, Rabbi Akiva wasn't being punished, wasn't being faulted because he was mevatel Talmud Torah. He's being faulted because what's he moving a meis mitzvah for? Meis mitzvah kona mekoma. Why is he schlepping it to Al Parsos? They're saying, you did what? You took a meis mitzvah and schlepped him somewhere? Meis mitzvah kona mekoma. You got to bury the meis mitzvah right there. What were they arguing about? Rabbi Kiva didn't know meis mitzvah kona mekoma? Tos stops there. So my question for you is, what was Rabbi Kiva and his Rebbeim arguing about? According to that approach, Rabbi Kiva thought, I found a meis mitzvah, I got to move him. Got to bring him to wherever I got to bury him. And his Rebbeim said, no, just leave him right there. And you should never have moved him. What's in the Nekudas HaMachlokas? I thought maybe, based on what we were saying yesterday. The Machlokas is exactly what we were saying yesterday. Why was Rabbi Kiva moving the mace? Well, where was he bringing him? Mistama, he was bringing him to Kivrei Avos. Because why else would he be moving the mace? What else would be the Havamina to move the mace? He must have been schlepping him to Kivrei Avos. Can you move a meis mitzvah to bring a meis mitzvah to Kivrei Avos? So that we had a machlokas haposkim about. Maybe that gufa is a machlokas, Rabbi Kiva and his Rebbeim. Rabbi Kiva thought I was allowed to do it because I'm bringing him to Kivrei Avos. His Rebbeim said, no, meis mitzvah kona mekomo. It's not just that it's ki'ilu nikbar, that it's as if he's already buried. You can't bring him to Kivrei Avos. So I just wanted to add that ha'ara from yesterday. But now I wanted to take a look into this Rambam. We left off yesterday by reading the Rambam. The Rambam defines, and this is a critical discussion, what is a Goel Adam? Who's eligible to be a Goel Adam? So the Gemara discusses, the Goel Adam maybe has a mitzvah and everyone else is only Rashus, or the Goel Adam is a Rashus and everyone else is usher to kill the murderer. But what defines who's called a Goel Adam? So the Rambam had this Gevaldik Chiddush, that Kol HaRoi LiYerusha, Parakal v'lech v'ez v'lchus v'tzech v'mirus nefesh. Source number 10. Kol ha-ro'i li-Yerusha. Who? Goel Adam. Goel Adam is anyone who could yarshi. That's how we define who's called a Goel Adam. That is the Rambam's definition of a Goel Adam. So it sounds like, so we were pointing out yesterday, that sounds from the Rambam, that when does someone not have a Goel? The Gemara said if you don't have a Goel Adam, then others can do it, right? What does it mean you don't have a Goel Adam? If you're a Jew, you have a Goel Adam then. Everyone's got relatives, and maybe my 12th cousin is my closest relative, maybe my 15th, but everyone's got relatives. We all go back to Avraham Avinu. So it would turn out, according to the Rambam, that the only one that doesn't have a Goel Adam is a Ger. And that's a little bit dachuk. To say that a Ger, that the only situation of not having a Goel Adam is a situation of a ger, but that's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like from the Rambam over here. That anyone who has a din yerusha is a goel adam. If there's no din yerusha, because ein echad mi yisrael that doesn't have yorshim, Chazanish though understands the Rambam a little bit differently. By the way, according to the Rambam. Let's say you have a lot of relatives. Let's say a person has sons and daughters and nephews and nieces and brothers and whatever. Who can be the Goel Adam? You say all of them? That's on the one hand, you could argue all of them because they all theoretically could be Yoresh. But if a guy has sons and daughters and brothers, who yarshins him? Only his sons yarshin him. So if only a Yoresh is called the Goel Adam, forget about the guy that has no relatives. What about the guy that's got a bunch of relatives? Then maybe only the sons should be able to be a Goel Adam.
Do you know how you say that? Anybody who's royal to be a Yorish can.
So that's the question. What does the Rambam mean? Not me, the Rambam. The Rambam says, Kala Roi Li Yerusha, who Goel Adam? What does he mean by Roi Li Yerusha? Anyone who can hypothetically be Yorish? Or anyone who is deserving of this guy's Yerusha? You know the difference? Deserving of this guy's Yerusha would be someone who actually is Yorishim.
A daughter technically could be Yorishim if he had no son.
Hypothetically could be Yorish, but she's not. So that's the question. How you teach the word Ro'oi in the Rambam? So that's the question I'm raising. Now, one could argue it both ways. So that's the simple understanding of the Rambam. The Chazon Ish, you have a Chazon Ish back here? Right behind you. The Chazon Ish in Sanhedrin, Simon Yutas, seems to understand the Rambam a little bit differently. Yeah, says the Chazon Ish. Kosovar Rambam Perikal Milchus Ratzeh Chalacha Beis Vekala Roi Li Yerusha Hu Goel Adam Vechra Zachar Vechra Nekeva Begulas Adam. And it could be male or female, could be a Goel Adam, like we mentioned yesterday. Dikteka Rambam Haroi Li Yerusha Hainu Afilu Eino Yoresh. I like Ari was saying that a Goel Adam could be someone who's Roi Li Yerusha even if he's not actually Yoresh. Ratzalomer, Ave, Aim, Ben, Ubas, Achva, Achos. And the Chazon Ish says, you know what he means by that? The seven closest relatives. What? How does that mean the seven closest relatives? He's assuming that royal Yerusha means close family members. People who typically would be Yoresh. Now that's a very difficult read into the Rambam, no? If you're talking about anyone who could hypothetically be Yoresh, it should go even to your 12th cousin. Because if he were your closest relative, he would be Yoresh. Anyone but a Ger, right, would have Yorshim, would have a Goel Adam. If you understand that it's someone who would actually be Yoresh, then when you have a son, it should be only the son. But he's assuming it means anyone who's royal Yerusha under somewhat normal circumstances. Ave'im ben ubas ach v'achos shekiruva nosin lem din yoresh v'hainu vav krovin v'avagav degam dodo uben dodo heima yorshim bezman shein yosef karov. So the Chazon Ish realizes the problem and he says, even though it's true your uncle and your cousin can yarshin also, if you don't have anyone else who's closer, zeu b'chlal ava achu ben Shem ein aviv kayim v'lo ach avi aviv yoresh es b'no man chalabana v'imo avagav she'eni yoresh es b'no mikom lakum b'no yorsha. He says, yeah, but that's only by extension of the closest relatives. So yeah, your uncle could be yoresh, but only as an extension of your father. Your cousin could be yoresh, but only as an extension of your father. So it's first level Yerusha. People who are yoresh on that first level, which is an interesting halach in Ilchus Yerusha. There are dine kedima by Yerusha. The Yeth Perek of Masechta Baba Basra, Yesh Nochlin, talks about what the rules of Yerusha are. But there are two different types of dine kedima by Yerusha. There's one dine kedima by Yerusha that sons before daughters, children before siblings, you know, those kinds of kedima of Yerusha. Where the fact that sons before daughters does not mean that daughters yarshin through the relationship with the son. They have a direct relationship with the father. Siblings, the fact that children before siblings is not because the siblings only yashin through the children. No. They have a direct relationship with the father. But then there are other dine kedima, that your father would be your issue before your uncle would be your issue. But the very reason your uncle's your issue is because he's related to your father and your father's related to you. Meaning it works through the closest relationship. So says the Chazon Ish, you know what Ro'i Yerusha means? It means all first level Yorshim. Any Yorshim that have to work through an intermediary to get their Yerusha, they're only related to you through your father, through your mother, through your son, through your... That's not a first level Yerusha, and that cannot be a Goel Adam. That's how the Rambam says. Such a person would not be able to be a Goel Adam. What's interesting is how do you view a grandchild? In this regard, let's say you don't have any children, you have only grandchildren. Would that be called Roi Li Yorsha? So what would you say with this analysis? That only first level Yorshim, so Pashtus is a grandchild is only related to you through your child. So the question is going to hinge on how literally do we take the phrase B'nei Banim Areim Kibanim? That grandchildren are like children. If we take it in a very literal sense, so maybe you would not call that only as an indirect Yerusha. Or you could argue even further that by a grandchild, what's the end game? When a person is morish something to his sons, the point is that then it's supposed to continue on to the grandchildren. So maybe as long as you're going down through the generations of children, that would still be considered ideal Yerusha, not secondary Yerusha. And that's going to come up in the Gemara right before the Mishnah, where the Gemara says something about her grandchild, but we're going to have to figure out exactly what the Gemara is talking about when it says something about her grandchild. So we're going to discuss whether a grandchild can be a Gol Adam. But Chaznish understands that Royal Yerusha means first level Yorshim. Aye, Frek the Chaznish. A mother is not Yorish her son. So how could a mother be a Gol Adam for a son? He says, yeah, but a son is Yorish the mother. Meaning, the way he's understanding Kolaroi Liyorsha in the Rambam is that Yerusha is not the cause of the din of what's a Gol Adam. It's not that Yerusha is what allows the din of Gol Adam to be Chal. Oh, you're a Yoresh, now Gol Adam can be Chal. Yerusha is Megala on the closeness of the relationship. Gol Adam is a function, not of Yerusha, it's a function of the closeness of the relationship. Someone who's very closely related can be a Goel Adam. How do I know how close a relationship is to be called close? You look at first level Yerusha and you see that's close. So even though Inachinami, your mother, is not Yerusha child, but since a child is Yerusha mother, we see that that relationship is defined as a close relationship. Once it's defined as a close relationship, memela, it's a Goel Adam type relationship. So again, when the Rambam says, the way the Chazanish understands it seems, when the Rambam says that a Goel Adam is anyone who you can be Yoresh, it does not mean that the fact that you are Yoresh them is the Goreim, is what kickstarts the din of Goel Adam, is what makes it that now, okay, now you can be a Goel Adam too. Like if you get the privilege of the Yerusha, so you now have the responsibility of avenging their blood also. It's not like a relationship between the two. The din of Goel Adam is v'cham levava, that you get agitated and angry and you can't control yourself because you're so angry that someone killed your relative. So it has to be a close relative, someone that you're really going to get agitated about. Who is someone that you're so close to that you would get agitated about? Someone who's close enough that you'd be Yorish on the first level also. But it's only a Gilei Milsa. The Yerusha, we're using Yerusha as like a mashal, as a Gilei Milsa. That Yerusha is a Gilei Milsa, that this is a very close relative. Why are you called them? Because you're a close relative, not because you're a Yorish. Because even if in fact you're not Yorish, they're a son, so you're a brother, you're not a son. So you're not Yorish. Or you're the mother, and you're not Yorish if you're the mother. But if it's a Chum Levava, it's a close relationship, and the closeness of the relationship is what allows for the din of Gol Adam to be Chal. Yeah, question.
Have you said brother is stronger Yerusha than son?
No.
No, it's not.
Son is stronger Yerusha.
Right, because you're only related to your brother through your father. That's why it's good. You're only related to your brother because of your father. That's
right, but a brother is still considered a first level. It's not considered. We don't.
Why doesn't it work that way?
Because the brother doesn't get the Yerusha through the father. The brother still gets the Yerusha directly, even though he's only related to you because of your father, but he still gets the Yerusha directly.
So in that case, any case of a person who's drawing a Yerusha is the first.
No, because the way we view it is that when a cousin gets a Yerusha, let's say, from you, because he's the closest living relative, is he's only Yoresh Mikoach his father, who himself was only Yorish Mikoach, your father.
So once it's double removed like that.
Right.
So not necessarily one removed, because a brother's.
A brother's direct. Even just one removed. Your uncle, let's say. Your uncle is only Yorish Mikoach, your father. A brother's Yorish Mikoach, that he's your brother, not Mikoach, your father. There are nafka minas la'alacha about it.
So let's say a half brother. You share the same
still, it's direct. It's considered direct. Yeah, it's considered direct. Okay, so to summarize, there are three ways you could read the Rambam. You can read the Rambam that any Yorish in the whole world anyone who's royally Yorsha, which means anyone in the world, and the only one that doesn't have a Yorish is a Ger. And presumably then the Rambam would say that, well, you could argue that the Rambam would say that anyone could be a Goel Adam in that case, which is quite a Chiddush, would be a little bit much. Or you could say, no, the Rambam means that they are all eligible to be a Goel Adam if there's no one closer. But whoever's closest on the list would be a Goel Adam. Second way to read the Rambam is, no, Roy Liarsho means whoever is actually getting your Yerusha. And therefore, the mother should never be a Goel Adam because she's never actually going to get your Yerusha. If there's sons and daughters, the daughters can't be a Goel Adam, only the sons could be. And then the third way of understanding the Rambam is the way the Chazon Ish understands it, is people you're exceptionally close with. How do we define what's called exceptionally close? Those kinds of people that you would have a level one Yerusha relationship with. It's got to be a level one Yerusha relationship. Those are the three ways to understand the Rambam.
Either way, meaning whether you're Yarsha now or they're Yarsha later.
Right, either way, exactly. Now, if you look in the Aruch Haner understands clearly, like the first way we said, that anyone could technically be your Yoresh, and therefore anyone could technically be your Goel Adam, but the halacha can't be that the whole world is your Goel Adam, that every Jew on earth is your Goel Adam. So what does the Aruch Haner understand? Who becomes your Goel Adam? You have 1,000 relatives. You know, at the Chasna, when they take the family picture, they need the wide-angle lens. You have a Kenainar, 1,000 relatives. So, who's defined as Yigal Adam then? So the Aruch Haner holds the closest one. Only the closest relative is the Goel Adam. Everyone else takes a back seat. That's how the Aruch Haner seems to understand. That's interesting. They all ask the Kasha, the Aruch Haner, Rabbi Kiveger, they all ask the Kasha. If the Goel Adam is only someone who's royally Yarsha and not the other relatives, how could the Gemara later on, right before the Mishnah, have a Havamina that according to Rabbi Yossi, a son becomes a Goel Adam to his father when his brother gets killed? The Gemara is going to say right before the Mishnah that what happens? A man has two sons, right? Let's say Yosef has Menashe and Ephraim, right? If Yosef kills Menashe Bishogeg, then Ephraim is allowed to kill Yosef. But wait a second, if the din Goel Adam is only the closest living relative of the deceased, only the one who would actually be Yoresh, if a guy has a father and a brother, who's Yoreshim? His father's Yoreshim, not the brother. So the real Yoresh is Yosef, the murderer. So how could we have a Havamin in the Gemara that Ephraim is going to be the Goel Adam if by definition the closest relative is Yosef? It's a sharp kasha. Aruch Haner, Rabbi Kiveger, they all ask the kasha. So Rabbi Kiveger suggests we must be talking about a case where, meaning when we say that a son is going to kill his father as a Goel Adam, it must be talking about a case that the father didn't kill one of his own children, the son's brother. No, you know who the father killed? His Grusha. Which means what? Man was married to a woman, divorced her, then killed her. Much more likely case, right? So he killed her. The Shogeg. So now, the son, who is the mother's son, who is that Grusha's son, is the only Goel Adam. Because the father's not Yoresh's Grusha. He's no longer married to her. He's not going to be Yoresher. Only the son's going to be Yoresher. That must be the Ukimta of the Gemara. That's how that's how Rabbi Kiveger understands. But this Kasha, the Aruch Haner, the Aruch Haner asks this kasha also. The Aruch Haner says a little differently. The Aruch Haner suggests, based on a Rambam in the first paragraph of Hilchos Rotzeach, that what happens if you don't have a Goel Adam? Let's say, for example, it's a ger. You don't have a Goel Adam. So the Rambam writes, Beis Din Ma'amidin Lo Goel Adam. Beis Din appoints someone to be the avenger of the blood. They appoint a Goel Adam. What do you mean, appoint a Goel Adam? How could you appoint a Goel Adam? Apparently, everyone, every Jewish life is worthy of having someone avenge their blood. Is worthy of having someone take the achrayus to be the Goel Adam. So we appoint a Goel Adam. So what happens if a father kills his own son and the Goel Adam by rights should be the murderer himself, but he's obviously can't be a Goel Adam because he's the murderer himself. So says the Aruch Haner, that would be another situation where Beis Din would say someone else has to be the Goel Adam. We can't let it go without a Goel Adam, and the father can't be the Goel Adam to himself, so we need to have someone else be the Goel Adam. So Beis Din would appoint someone else to be the Goel Adam, and then who's that someone else going to be? The next closest relative, the brother, he's going to be the Goel Adam. Okay, that's as far as the Rambam is concerned. Now, if you go weiter in the Gemara, we saw yesterday a little bit. We have this Machlokas Tanaim. We had the Tanakama Rabbi Yossi Aglili said that it's mitzvah biyad Goel Adam and rishus biyad Kol Adam if there is no Goel Adam. And Rabbi Kiva says rishus biyad Goel Adam and Kol Adam chayavin alav. There it's rishus biyad Goel Adam, but everyone else is chayav. So the Gemara said, okay, where does Rabbi Yossi Aglili get that it's a mitzvah biyad Goel Adam? So we saw yesterday the Gemara said, because it says, it doesn't say im ratzach, it says viratzach. That you're supposed to kill him. It's not im ratzach if you kill him. And Rabbi Kiva will say, no, it doesn't say yirtzach, you should kill him, it says viratzach. So it's only rishus. The Gemara never then asks the next question. I mean, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili argue about two things. What are the two things they argue about? They argue about whether the Goel Adam himself has a mitzvah or is only rishus. And they also argue, what about everybody else? Is everybody else a rishus or everybody else a zero? So they argue about that as well. The Gemara discusses why Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili each say what they say about the first machlokas, about the Goel Adam himself. It never discusses why they say what they say about Kol Adam, about the second machlokas. No? Gemara never says why Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds it's Rishus Biyad Kol Adam, why does Rabbi Kiva hold that it's not Rishus Biyad Kol Adam. So if you look at the Ritva, source number 12, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. So says the Ritva, Mistavr de Bahab Ligi, Davadei Beloshon Mikra Ika Aseyu Chayotzi Boshu Mitzvah, Vayin Ruba, Vika Miuta Davaloshon Rishus, Kidichsiv V'gol Asmem Karachivu Chayotzi Bo. So what's he saying? That what he's saying is, if you look at the pasuk, it's actually before he gets to dealing with this issue. He doesn't deal with this issue until the end. But before he even gets to it, he says, what are they actually arguing about in the case of the Goel Adam himself? Viratzach. Viratzach is not im yirtzach, nor is it. It's not im ratzach, nor is it yirtzach. It's viratzach. It's somewhere in between. So he says, most of the time, when you have a lashon of viratzach, it means it's a mitzvah that you're supposed to do it. But a miut of the time, viratzach might mean a rishus. So maybe what they're arguing about is, should we take what the word usually means, which would mean a mitzvah, or should we say, no, since we're talking about a human life over here, we don't want to make a mitzvah to kill somebody unless it's absolutely muchrach that you have to make a mitzvah to kill somebody. And therefore we should view it as a rishus. He says, to be koveya, a mitzvah bedomo shel zeh? You can't make a mitzvah to kill someone unless you have a mikra mefurash, unless you have an explicit pasuk. And you don't have that over here. And that's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. But then he says, our question, v'im tamar li'inyin kol adam v'may pligi, but what are they arguing about when it comes to kol adam? V'yishomer da'haba ha'talya. So it says, but just very pashut. They hinge on each other. Diliolim nasati kol adam chada darga migol adam. Nachti kol adam chada darga migol adam. Says it's most mistaver that the attitude everyone else has toward the murderer should be one level below what the Goal Adam's relationship with the murderer is. And if the Goal Adam is a mitzvah, then everyone else must have rishus. If the Goal Adam is rishus, then it must be asr for everyone else. It's most mistaver that that's what it is. What? Whoever the Goal Adam is, now we're saying, regardless of how you define Goal Adam. Right, but would still be right. Yeah. But right now I'm past that. Meaning, right now what I'm trying to figure out is why does the Gemara make the assumption that if you hold that the Gol Adam has a mitzvah to kill, then you automatically hold that everybody else has a reshus to kill. And if you hold that the Gol Adam only has a reshus to kill, then automatically you hold everybody else is not allowed to. So the Ritva says, because it's got to be, it's most mistaber, that everybody else is one madrega below the Gol Adam. Is that so mukhrach? Why is that most mistaber? How does that necessarily make sense? A Gol Adam has a mitzvah to avenge his relative's blood. That means someone else is allowed to kill the person? Why is that mistaver? That when there's no Gol Adam, another person is going to be allowed to kill a person? Very difficult. This is very difficult to understand, no? Why should you assume just because the Gol Adam has a mitzvah that necessarily means that someone else is going to have a reshus? So the Aruch Huner says, that's not what's going on over here. The Aruch Huner writes, it's all touching up the Pasuk. Pasuk in Chumash clearly talks on two different levels. Pasuk says, what's the Pasuk that we're quoting over here? Where is it? Umatza oso goel adam michutz l'gvul ir miklato viratzach goel adam es harotzeach. Right? Those are the words that we're focusing on in the Gemara about the goel adam. Viratzach goel adam es harotzeach. And then, ein lo dam. What does that last phrase mean? Ein lo dam. He doesn't have any blood. How do you teach that? So maybe what it's telling us is, V'ratzach Goel Adam is a Rotzeach. The Goel Adam kills the Rotzeach. If you understand that that's a mitzvah, Ein Lo Dam is not a statement about the Goel Adam, it's about the Rotzeach himself. That since the Goel Adam has a mitzvah to kill the Rotzeach himself is like a dead man walking. He's Ein Lo Dam. And if he's like a dead man walking, then Mimela the Halach is going to be, what's Halach if your Horig is a Trefa? If you kill someone as a Trefa? Potter! Why? Because a Trefa is a dead man walking. The Rotzeach becomes a dead man walking because the Goel Adam is a mitzvah to kill him. So as far as the Goel Adam is concerned, says Rabbi Yossi Aglili, V'ratzach, you have a mitzvah to kill him. Once you have a mitzvah to kill him, Ein Lo Dam. Klap everyone else, he's Ein Lo Dam. He doesn't have any blood. He's considered like he's a dead man walking. Whereas Rabbi Akiva will read it differently. Rabbi Kibra will say V'ratzach kol adam is ratzach. Not that you have a mitzvah to kill him. The kol adam, what it has to be keep understand, v'ratzach kol adam is ratzach means you're allowed to kill him. Ein lo dam explains, and because you're allowed to kill him, you're not going to be chayiv misa for doing it. Ein lo dam doesn't mean he's like a dead man walking, because he's not necessarily. You don't have a mitzvah to kill him. There's no requirement to kill him. Ein lo dam means, therefore, you're not going to be chayiv misa for killing him. Mele, there's no source to tell me that anyone else is allowed to kill him. The whole pasuk is talking klape the goel adam. You're allowed to kill him, ein lo dam, and you're not going to be chayiv for killing him. Now it's interesting. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, v'ratzach lo adam asrotzeach means you have a mitzvah to kill him. Ein lo dam means he has no blood, and therefore other people are not going to be chayiv to kill him. Why then does Rabbi Yossi Aglili only say that other people are allowed to kill him if there's no goel? Even if there is a goel, he's ein lo dam. Right, if the whole reason he's Ein Lo Dam is because the Goel Adam is allowed to kill him, it has a mitzvah to kill him, so shouldn't it be that other people are allowed to kill him even if he's Ein Lo Dam? Even if there's no, if there is a Goel Adam? So an interesting ha'ara the Aruch Haner has. Says the Aruch Haner, you know why someone else is not allowed to kill him unless the Goel Adam is gone, unless there's no Goel Adam? It's not because of how other people have to relate to the murderer. As far as a murderer is concerned, anyone should be allowed to kill him. And they're not committing any crime against the Rotzeach by killing him. You know who they're committing a crime against by killing the Rotzeach? When there is a Goel Adam? Not against the Rotzeach. They're committing a crime against the Goel Adam. What crime are they committing against the Goel Adam? You're robbing him of his mitzvah. He has a mitzvah to kill the Rotzeach. You're taking away that mitzvah and killing the person that he's supposed to kill. You're swiping a mitzvah from him. Taking away his opportunity for a mitzvah. That's why it's only if it's Ein Lo Goel that it's Rishus Biyad Kol Adam. Otherwise, you're right. Even if there is a Goel, someone else kills him, Rabbi Yossi Aglili will say, you're not Chayav Misa. Even when there is a Goel, because you didn't commit murder. You know what you committed? Robbing an Avera. A much lesser crime than murder. It's also quite a chiddush within the Shita of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Okay, Be'ezras Hashem on Monday we'll pick up with the B'nai Banim Kibanim, grandparents, covet of grandparents, important Rashi, Maritz Chayus, other Leibedik things over here.
Interesting shout, I don't know why I thought of it.